Our church, God's church, has been founded on worship and the Word. And you, how can you improve on that? But this morning, as I was sitting here and the Holy Spirit began speaking to me, there's something we're missing. Because worship and the Word should propel us into a ministry of touching people's lives. Not just being satisfied that we're a church that's known for worship and the Word, but that Jesus Christ is known for His touch on people's lives. I believe 100% in worship. You know, we could come in here and worship all day and we'd just begin to thank God for what He's done for us. And we can know the Word and we can know the Word and we can know the Word, but until the Word begins flowing out of us. How many of you ever heard of the Dead Sea? Do you know why the Dead Sea is dead? It has no outlets. It takes in, it takes in, it takes in, but it never gives out and everything kind of stagnates. And so it's my heart this morning, and please, this is not anything, you're doing things wrong, you're not being condemned, you're being encouraged. Okay? You're being encouraged to take another step beyond where you are. Could that be scary? Yeah. Because a lot of people say, well, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if God's going to answer my prayer, so I'm just going to keep everything I got, because that's safe. That's more risky than giving it out. You say, what are you talking about? The risk is only involved if we do not believe. When we believe, it's not the risk, because when we believe in God, it's based on what He does, not what I'm doing.
Amen.
And that's what I want to do this morning, very casually and no hype. And no pointing the finger and no saying, hey, you're not measuring up, you're a bunch of this and you're... No, that's not even God. I'm not cracking a whip. I want to encourage you to take what God has instilled within you and share it. Amen?
Amen.
Because sometimes we just walk by. And I've done it. I've walked by people in wheelchairs. I walked by people who are having trouble. Yesterday, this young man was throwing a fit in Walmart, just going nuts. And you know, you sit there and you watch instead of say, man, I need to go deliver that kid. And all I would have had to do is walk over to the mom and say, hey, mind if I pray for your son? You know, what's the worst thing she could have done? Said, no, shut up. I don't believe that. Does that hurt that much? And we all, and the basics of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is revelation. And I'm thinking of working on this last night and sitting at the table, so I call Judy, who hasn't been feeling well, and I say, honey, you want a Dairy Queen tonight? Oh, yeah, I like a Dairy Queen. And I said, what do you want me to get you? Well, you know, you just get what I want. You got that? You got that? You know, I got the revelation from Jesus, but I don't have the revelation from Judy. And so, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, that's really nice. You just surprise me and you get what I want. I didn't have any room in the car. I had it full of malts and shakes, hoping that the first one I brought in would be okay. No. But you know, God amazingly wants to reveal Himself beyond whatever we've comprehended. And it's not a brain thing, it's a spiritual thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor enter the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And so, in the natural sense, he's saying, you can't imagine. Your brain can't tell you. You can't sense what God has prepared for those who love him. The problem is some people stop there. And they just simply don't go any further. Well, it can't be known. I can't know. Really. But there's more. There is so much more. And it says, but God has revealed to them through the Holy Spirit. Look at that. But as written, eye has not seen nor thing. Go to the next one, would you? But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. It is a great time, people. It's a great time to allow the Holy Spirit to bring revelation. Yes. The word revelations mean to reveal or uncover or disclose. For years, people said, well, I'm not going to read the Bible because the church told me not to because I wouldn't understand it. Anybody raised at that time? Don't read the book of Revelation. It's just going to scare the pants off you and you won't know what it means and you'll get all these weird ideas. No, the book of Revelation means revealed. Hello? One time. It means revealed. And so God wants to reveal to us what he's doing and what his plans are. In other words, God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to your heart through his Holy Spirit and reveal to us what he's doing, what he wants to do, how he wants to minister in people's lives. You know, sometimes we just don't hear. And sometimes people have been burnt by personal prophecies that never come true. Put it in the back. God's Holy Spirit wants to speak directly to your spirit to reveal what he wants to accomplish in your life, in your family, on your job, whatever you might be doing. He might even tell you, farmers, as you're working and getting ready for spring, what to plant and what not to plant. Why not? He knows how the harvest is going to go. But sometimes we miss it. Our wildest minds, in its wildest imaginations, can never fathom what God has planned and purposed for his people. It can't be a mental thing. I want to read verse 2. God has supernaturally pulled back the veil that blocked God's plan from your sight, and the Holy Spirit cut this operation through this operation, made these things revealed that's been invisible. God is taking what we had no way of knowing, didn't have a chance of seeing in the natural mind, and he's opened them so that we can understand not only his heart, but his ways. Remember Moses? The Bible says in Psalm 103, he made his acts known to the children of Israel, but he made his ways known to Moses. Think about that. Moses knew what God was going to do many times before it happened. And God wants you to know and to understand and to get a hold of and to grasp what he's doing in the lives, your life first, and in the lives of people around him. So you're not walking around saying, well, I don't know what God's doing. I just don't have a clue. I wish I had some idea. Just maybe we need to ask. Just maybe we need to take time and listen. Because God's always speaking. You know, he speaks through his word, right? Yes. He speaks with an audible voice at times. He speaks through the Holy Spirit to our spirit. He speaks through words of wisdom and words of knowledge and the prophetic. And you know something else? He either speaks, and he also speaks through nature. And he'll speak to other through other people for you. Or to you. And so we need to understand that God is always saying something. And he's not just carrying on a conversation to carry on a conversation. He's carrying on something that's in his heart that he wants to put in your heart, and you need to see the accomplishment of it. I sat down last night after sitting here for a while and walked in and just started typing on the computer. I had nothing to type when I first got there. But then I started thinking, isn't it exciting to see somebody have their first encounter with God? Isn't it exciting to see somebody's life change because God encountered them? But then let's take another step. Isn't it wonderful to see what God has encountered with you, and you're encountering somebody with the same presence of God that touched and changed your life? It's amazing. It's his grace. It's his mercy. It's his unbelievable love for us. He doesn't want us on the outside looking in, even as Christians. He wants us in the inner court. He's called us to be his disciples. Keep in mind, the disciples had contact with Jesus every day he was on earth. Except when he was in the tomb. And God wants to take the Spirit and inform us of what's going on. Realize he doesn't have bad days. Realize he's not discouraged with what's going on in the world. Realize he's not angry. The anger's coming in the tribulation later. But right now, God is calling forth a people. And how many of you realize that you get more from your children by loving them than beating them?
That's right.
Go home and try. And so God is looking at us and saying, come. Come. But I want to go through some things with you. I'm going to leave my notes and just talk. Verse number 11. For what man knows the things of God except the Spirit? Or what knows the things... Forgive me. What man knows the things of man except the spirit of man? Okay, let me ask you a question. How many of you will release your spirit to me so I can know everything about you? You look at me with amazement. Your spirit knows everything about you, right? I could get to know everything about you by talking to your spirit. Okay? Come on up here, Jerry. We're going to do this before... No, I'm joking. Okay, how many got a hold of that? How many just took a hold of that? What knows the spirit of man, what knows about man except the spirit of man? Okay, let me ask you this then. Who really knows about God except the Holy Spirit? And Jesus. So here's what's going on. The Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God, and he brings those deep things to us to reveal them so that we know. And so when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and ministering to you, the Holy Spirit is taking the deep things of God and he's breaking them down so our spirit and our mind eventually can understand them. And sometimes they're over our head. Hello? Sometimes they're way up here. And what happens is that he lets our spirit digest what he's teaching, and then it comes to our mind. And with the renewed mind, you begin to understand the things that God has revealed to your spirit. It's just like, how many of you learned trigonometry in the first grade? I'll explain what trigonometry is later.
Thank you.
Yeah. I never took it either. You take it? You know, I had a great learning lesson with the different vehicle, because I got navigation, it got this, and it's got that, and it's got all the stuff, and I almost ran the ditch 4 or 5 times trying to play with it. But anyway, eventually, even a hard-headed German Norwegian can get it. Because you keep pounding and pounding and pounding hard enough, and pretty soon it registers. I can get the navigation going. I can use my Bluetooth. I thought teeth usually got yellow, but I could use my Bluetooth. I could use all this stuff and get things down. Well, it's a little bit like that with God. Because when God begins to reveal things to us, at times we begin to wonder, what? Where'd that come from? But the closer we get into the revelation process, the deeper we get, the word I should have used, the more it makes sense. And we understand we're growing when the things of God make sense to our spirit and we begin to comprehend them with our mind. Look at me for a moment. Why are there so many weird doctrines in churches? Simply because people could not understand the truth of the Spirit, so they made something to compromise. But the Word is revealed to us through the Spirit of God, and there's no compromise, there's no changing it. We are living by what God has said to us and revealing to us. We okay?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Now, there are times that we simply don't understand, but you don't spit it out. You just allow God to take the time to reveal. Because he's telling you things for a purpose, and a lot of times he begins telling you things way before the time that you need it, so he makes sure that you understand what's going to happen is not because you're a failure or you're a sinner or you're something else. It's because this thing had to be to get about what he was going to do. So come again. If I could talk to your spirit, I'd know all about you. Now, you know, when I do that, I got 3 pointing at myself, Stephen. So the Holy Spirit takes from God and reveals this to us. Now, I want to let you know the hope in all this. Because the hope is in all this is in the last verse where it says, we have the mind of Christ. How do we get that mind? We've often thought, well, I'm laying my hands on my head and all of a sudden I got the mind. It's downloading from the Holy Spirit about the Father. It's allowing the Spirit to take from the Father. He burns that into our spirit however long it takes, and pretty soon we're thinking like Jesus. We're looking for opportunities to minister. We realize there's a alternative to cancer. It's healing and it's health. We realize there's so many things that God is doing that we want to just step into it instead of running away from it. We come to it, we embrace it, because that's God. We okay? Then he goes on to say, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, that's an interesting verse. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Okay, Steve, I'm giving you my billfold. You can have everything in it until I ask for it back. But everything in there is yours. You have right to use the credit card, church credit card, but don't tell Barb. You have the right for it all. And your response to that is, Pastor, can I borrow $20?
40.
40. That's in there too. 60? We'll have a little debate on that. But that's what we do sometimes. God is pouring out blessings. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. How many believe that? He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And so how do we pray? Lord, bless me. I've done that. And I catch myself doing it. Because the Lord is responding to that through the Holy Spirit. He said, Dwight, what do I have to do to get your attention? You're blessed. Yes. It's already there. And every believer in Jesus Christ has been blessed. Yes. The ones that need to be blessed are those in the world who need Jesus. Amen. And the first blessing they need is salvation.
Amen.
So that we may know the things that are freely given. What does that mean? No charge. Can't earn it. Receive. You want the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's been given to you. Receive. You want gifts of the Spirit? Freely given. Receive. You're worried that you're not saved? You're worried that this is that? It's been freely given to you as a Christian. Live it.
Yes.
Believe it. Accept it. Walk it out. No fear.
Amen.
And so we come to a place where we're asking God to give us something that we already have. It's innate in our lives through the Holy Spirit. We are the most blessed people on the planet.
Yes. Amen.
Even when something may go wrong, you're still blessed. Even when somebody dies, we're still blessed. Even when we get a bad diagnosis, we're still blessed. Even though when things aren't working right and our kids aren't doing what we think they should be doing and things are happening, you're blessed.
Right.
Walk in the blessing of God. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Do you understand that? What does God have in heaven that he doesn't want to pour out on us? Think. If you walk out this morning and you're discouraged, you're depressed, you're frustrated, there are things happening, just remember, you're blessed. Don't allow the things of the enemy to rob the things of God that's been poured into your life that sometime is just lying there and we're not even aware it's there, but now you know it's there. Let it rise and take control.
Yes.
Live by your spirit, not your mind.
Yes.
Live by your spirit so that it renews your mind and you begin to comprehend these things that God is doing in your life right now.
Yes.
Let's continue. Verse number 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but in the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, with the spiritual. What that's saying, when you start breaking it down, you can't compare the spiritual to the natural. There's nothing there that balances. You okay? Okay. You look around, you see the Christian having problems, and you see the worldly person just prospering. And you look around and you try to compare the two. It doesn't work. Did you ever try it? There's no answer. There's no answer. You compare spiritual truth with spiritual language. You see the truth of the word and you begin to repeat what the word says. You begin to say what the word says. He who dies with the most toys still dies. Like Lowell Lundstrom used to say, you don't see a hearse with a U-Haul on it. And so what we begin to do, we compare what God has said with God's truth. It doesn't matter what the world has. That's not the issue. The issue comes to my faith in Christ, my walking in the Holy Spirit, knowing that He will take care of me. Yeah, I can see. I can see clearly now. We get all tied up about things. We get all tied up about not having certain things or having certain things or this or that or what they have or what the Joneses have or whatever. You're not going to be able to keep up with the Joneses. By the time you catch up, they'll refinance. Doesn't work. God says contentment is great gain. You don't have to beg God for things. Walk in His Spirit and He'll bless you because you are blessed. When we learn to be satisfied with the blessings of God, we have learned a lot of contentment. And so we take truth and we compare it to the spiritual language. And as we do that, we realize that we're not that bad off. I just spent the night in a $300,000 home, and I also know what they're making for payments, and I didn't feel any better than I did in my $5,000 trailer. I slept. Having a bed and a pillow, what more do I need at midnight? What was that? Snack. Oh, snack. Well, I could have had them too, but I probably would have got shot right in the fridge. There are things that we put the emphasis on that God had just said is yours. If you have a place to sleep, you have clothes to put on, you have food to eat, seek ye first what?
The kingdom of God.
And all these things will be added. One more point, and I'm going to think about quitting. Verse number 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned or they're spiritually understood. The natural man means the non-spiritual. The non-spiritual man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness. The Bible says the Greeks seek after wisdom and the Jews seek after a sign, and the preaching of the cross is foolishness. How many can look at your life 40, 50 years ago, if you're that old, or 20, 30 years ago, before you were a Christian, and how many could picture yourself sitting here? Nobody's moving. Do you know why? Because all you thought that God was about was religion. And you thought those holy rollers were crazy. I was raised a holy roller. Oh, let me digress for a minute. I was mean holy roller. When we went to Virginia and Minnesota in 1971 and took over a church with four or five people, we were making 70%. Our first check was $28, 70% of $40. That was the first offering. So I started working at the funeral home. I won't go into detail about that. But we had a guy in the funeral home named Randy, and he called me Holy Roller, and he did all this. And so one day, we put new carpet in the church. So I went and picked up Randy, and I said, Randy, I'd love to just see you. Our new sanctuary, it's got new carpet, and it's really nice. And Randy jumped in my car, and we went over to the church and walked in, and he looked. He said, Dwight, why did you put this carpet? I said, well, we had some complaints as people were rolling down the aisles, your clothes were getting dirty. And so, I mean, that ended. I was no longer called Holy Roller. The natural man just doesn't see. The Bible says the God of this world has blinded their minds that they won't see the light of the glorious gospel. So what has to happen? The Holy Spirit in your life needs to be stronger than the power of darkness in their lives.
That's right. Amen.
That darkness flees. A lot of people you are talking to, friends with you, coming over to your house and maybe like Jorgensen's buying eggs or doing something, they don't see it. And so what has to happen is I believe that we need a deeper relationship in the Holy Spirit, hearing God, because God has a plan how to reach him.
Yes.
And some of the things we do is not the answer. The answer is hearing from the Holy Spirit in our spirit, allowing that to infiltrate our mind and sharing with them, because there's enmity between the spirit and the flesh. I don't want you to miss this. There's a lot of religious ways to try to reach people. And what has happened is that we've made converts to the churches instead of disciples to Christ. We've made converts to our belief system. The letter does what? Kills. But the Spirit does what? Give life. I want our lives together. Anointed, ministered, led, directed, empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying you have to go around speaking in tongues all day. I'm not saying that. I'm saying what we need is a life yielded to the Spirit of God where we hear him and we respond. What's obedience? Doing what the Spirit tells us. Living as he leads us. And there are things that God wants to show us about our community, about people's lives, about our life. And he's not doing that to beat you up or terrorize you. He's doing that because he has a plan and he loves you and he wants to anoint you and he wants to help you reach those that you've been praying for. How many have ever prayed like the rich man in hell? God, go teach my family. Go reach my family. God's telling us, you go do it. You go do it. Then we say, how? And we allow the Spirit of God, who loves and is compassionate and full of mercy, to lead us, direct us, and guide us. And it's a beautiful life. But I'm finding out there's so much more than I've experienced. And I want to share it. I just want you to just be full of God. All the other things that are going on in life are secondary to being full of God, being full of his love, being full of his compassion, hearing his voice. You know, some of you need to know that God has told you, well done. But we don't hear that because we're trying to earn something. We're trying to get deeper in something. We're trying to do more. We're trying to, and we don't ever relax and allow God to speak his love to us. Bless you. We love you. We want the best for you, and so does God. And so I pray, my prayer is that we just take hold of this, that we hear from God, we see what God is doing. Even as we get up in the morning, the heavens declare the glory of God. Let everything happening in your life declare his glory to you. Bless you. Amen.